Translation. He, the personality of Godhead, manifested himself in a transcendental form, being the subject of his transcendental name, quality, pastimes, entourage, and transcendental variegatedness. Although he is unaffected by all such activities, he appears to be so engaged. It's a very interesting verse. The Lord here, even though he appears to be so busy creating, manifesting, appearing in so many transcendental expansions, and appearing in everyone's heart, maintaining everything, making everything moving, Maya Dyakshena Prakriti, he's got the hands behind everything, makes the sun moving, the moon shining, he makes the wind blowing, but he's not affected by the all those activities, even though he appears to be so engaged. He's not affected by the pride. Like when we do something, oh, look what have I done. You know, people, they go to work and they expect remuneration because I've done great work, so I have to be paid for it. There is a fruitive mentality behind any work that we perform in this world, whether we are, even as a devotees, we do devotional service because in the neophyte stage we want something, purification, we want some recognition, we want some knowledge, we want some, or we want, you know, we're proud. We're proud of the work that we perform. But the Lord is not like that. He doesn't have to impress anybody. He creates everything so perfect. He maintains everyone. But he doesn't expect to be for anyone to be grateful. But of course, as a devotees, we are very grateful for being maintained by the Lord, for the food on the table, for the prasada we get every day, for the maintenance, for the gift of life. And Krishna likes that, you know. If we recognize his work, it's that means we are intelligent. If we don't, that means we are ungrateful. Just like I used to sell some paintings before. An artist produce a painting. People, they go in the gallery, they appreciate the painting. But the intelligent one said, wait a minute, who is the artist? Because if there is a painting, there must be an artist behind it. Similarly with a creation. If there is a creation, people, they go holiday, enjoy the sun, enjoy the beach, enjoy the food, enjoy the breeze. And, you know, they glorify the creation. But they're not very intelligent because they don't ask, who is the creator? If there is this creation, there must be a creator. So as a devotees, we try to see who is behind the curtains of this world. And that's the Lord. So, we'll read the purport very quickly and we'll say a few words. Whenever there is a need for material creation, the transcendental personality of Godhead accepts forms in the material world for creation, maintenance and destruction. One should be intelligent enough to know his activities in truth and not being biased, to conclude that he descends to the material world by accepting a form created by material nature. any form accepted from the material nature as its affection for everything done in the material world. A conditioned soul who accepts a material form for undergoing a certain term of material activities is subjected to the laws of matter. But here, in this verse, it is clearly stated that although the forms and activities of the Lord appear to be the same as those of a conditioned soul, they are supernatural and impossible for the conditioned soul. He, that's Prabhupada addressed the Lord, he, just like the sa here, it means he, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always unaffected by such activities. In the Bhagavad Gita 4.14, the Lord says, Namam karmani limpanti, name karma phalet spriya, itimam yo bijanati, karma bir na sabayate, badyate. The Lord is never affected by the activities which he apparently performs by his different incarnations and personalities. As we said before, he is not proud of it and he is not affected. Affected means affected by the pride or the reaction from those activities. There is no reaction that can touch the Lord, whether he is good or bad. He is completely transcendental. When we do some activities, we are to be expected some reaction. If we do something good, then some pious reaction will come to you. But if you do something bad, a bad reaction will come. Unless akarma, non-action. Akarma, which means it is action, but there is no reaction. Like the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, one who sees the action in inaction, and inaction in action, then he real sees. What is the verse, Govinda? In English, one? Yes, and he real see the... Yeah. It's a very nice verse. Bit complicated, but very deep. That means when we see the action of the Lord performed, it's an inaction also, because it produces no reaction. Yeah? Understood? The Lord is never affected by the activities which he apparently performs by his different incarnation and personality. Nor does he have any desire to achieve success for fruitive activities. Desire for success, that's pride. That's when you are expecting something in return. People, they become successful architect or successful celebrity. And then what? They achieve that success. But on the back of their mind, okay, now where is the worship? Where is the fame? They want fame. It's not that they are successful and then they renounce it. No. They're miserly, actually. You can see wealthy people, celebrities, or politicians, they give a nice speech, they perform good work, but with aim in mind to achieve something. To get something, recognition. And again, that's not to be mistaken with the mind of the Lord. Whatever he does wonderful things, even better than conditioned souls. You can see in the painting there, he's sleeping. And when he's asleep, he creates. Who can do that? Can you create when you sleep? We can only create a dream. But that's not reality. But the Lord, he can create in a tangible way. He created a progeny, Lord Brahma, who is his first son, And even without the wife. Who can do that? The Lord doesn't, Lord Brahma, he's got no mother. Did you know that? There is a name, Sanskrit name. What is it, Govinda? Swayambhu. Yes, Swayambhu. He's got one parent. You name me someone who can procreate in this world just on his own strength, without the help of a female, or a female without help of a male. It's impossible. So, that's little something about the Lord. He can create, he can, and even when he's asleep, you know, all these different incarnations, they come. Nishingadev, the boar incarnation, all this going on when he's asleep. The creation. You can see what a lazy person, you know, but lazy intelligent. You know, he can do wonderful things in a lazy way. We cannot do that. We have to work very hard. We have to sweat to get a little something imperfect accomplished. Because every endeavor has some imperfection. That's what the Bhagavad Gita, it can never be perfect like the way the Lord, he activates his doing. Therefore, an intelligent person who can distinguish between the transcendental activities of the Lord and the activities of the conditioned souls is also not bound by the reaction of activities. The Lord, as Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva, conducts the three modes of material nature. From Vishnu is born Brahma, as we said before, and from Brahma is born Shiva. Sometimes Brahma is a separated part of Vishnu, and sometimes Brahma is Vishnu himself. Thus, Brahma creates the different species of life all over the universe, which means that the Lord creates the whole manifestation either by himself or through the agency of his authorized deputies. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai mukam karoti vachalam pangalam kaite girim yat kripa tamaham bande shri guru dinatarinam. So we cannot do that. We cannot imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead by doing what he does. Like a few days ago, I got stung by a wasp. My son got stung, you know, 8 times by wasps. We got attacked. So somebody gave me some spray, you know, but actually I was killing them, you know. So I sprayed on the nest and I thought, you know, they would go away. But actually it was some kind of poison that it killed them. So I felt so bad. And in the Bhagavatam, I remembered that you can only destroy if you can create. I cannot create a life. I cannot create another wasp. I cannot. This is the reason Prabhupada actually he says in that purport, Bhagavata, I think it's the 9th canto. There's nothing, if the conditioned soul they want to kill, that's fine. You can kill the cow, but if you can create another cow. Can you create? We can't create anything, not even a blade of grass. But the Lord, he does, he can create, he can do so much. From nothing, he can create something. Which for a conditioned soul, it's impossible. Because something, it's from something. For us, you need a mommy and daddy to create you. So they are something, so and they create you. They give birth to a son. But it's not that the son, it's from nothing. But the Lord is the only one that he can convert the spiritual energy to material energy and vice versa. From nothing, he's the greatest magician. He can create something. We need ingredients to formulate some kind of creation. And not only that, he does wonderful things, but he's not proud of it. We do a little something like a child, you know. When he does a little something, he's very overwhelmed. Look what I did. Beautiful. And he wants to show to everyone. So this is the difference between the Lord and the conditioned souls. Of course, Krishna is very kind. He supplies everything for us. But just to maintain his creation. But we mess around. We want to create. We want to distort things. And we want to make things change, you know, the beauty of material nature with a new technology, with a new face in this world, but then we only destroy. We are only destroying the world. We create, you know, so much plastic. Yesterday on the news I saw that so many millions of particles of plastic are not just in the ocean, billions, but also in the bloodstream of all the 8 billion residents in this world. We have a plastic in our bloodstream. That's what the scientist was talking about. He was a good scientist, environmentalist. So we are poisoning ourselves. And we are very proud of it. We are proud of our work. Beautiful. So, the Lord is magnificent in everything he does, but we cannot imitate him, we cannot be equal to him, or we cannot be even greater than him. Asama, the name of Krishna is Asama Urdhva. Asama means, what is it? Not equal, a urdhva, not above, not greater than God. Why? Because we are anu. Anyone knows? Very tiny soul. And Krishna is vibhu. Very great, very big. That's the difference. Big difference. So you can see we are very tiny. Sometimes when you fly on the airplane, you see the building, then you see the cars like little ants. And then I think, my God, there is people in that little car. And in that, you know, there is a pet or there is a little child, but you can't see them. Very tiny we are. The buildings, very big building on mountains, they appear to be very small like this when you fly. When you look everything from above, everything is very small. And then if you go far away in the space, even the earth looks like this. Just like you see the moon and the sun. It looks like that. But when you go on that planet, it's huge. And all this, there's billions and billions of these little balls. They're floating in the air. And that they're coming out, all that space, cosmic manifestation, from the mouth of the Lord. He breathes them in, and then he inhales them in, and he breathes them out. So billions of planets, they're coming in and out from the body of the Lord. And then there is a space around the Lord as well. And there are so many more Vaikuntha universes. And Vaikuntha universe is not all. There is also another realm, Goloka Vrindavan. There is no end to the creation of Krishna, how great he is, and how he maintains everything. It's blind. It's mind-blowing. And that everything is done by that little boy. He's the Sarvakarana Karanam, little boy on the altar with a flute. He's the cause of everything. What is the verse of the Samhita? Sarvakarana Karanam. Ishvara Parama. You can say Ishvara Parama Krishna Tananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda. He's the cause of everything, behind everything. If we want to know the cause of your existence, is behind everything. So we can never imitate the Lord in that way. So a person who... we should never be proud of what we do. Sometimes even as a devotee, if you have knowledge and you are proud of it, then actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, then you should roll up your sleeves and serve an ignorant person. If you're proud of your knowledge, you serve someone who is ignorant. That's how you purify your pride. If you are proud of being a staunch celibate brahmachari, then roll up your sleeves and serve a grihastha, a householder. And vice versa, you know, if grihastha is proud, then he should serve celibate brahmacharis. This is the way. If you are strong, powerful, and you're proud of it, then you should serve the weak. If you are beautiful or attractive, people, you know, celebrities, they're always posing for pictures and stuff. Because they think they are God. But to purify that pride, they should serve the commoners or the so-called ugly, because beautiful people, they think they're better than anyone else. If you are very wealthy and powerful and you're proud of it, then roll up your sleeves and serve the poor. But on the other hand, we have to be also very careful. We shouldn't think, oh, because I am poor, there's nothing wrong with me. Because sometimes poor, they are also angry with God for being poor, because they blame God. I've been born in this situation. And then as reaction, you see, they become affected by their activities. They are envious of the rich, who is a sadhu. Astavakra said, you know, from time immemorial, the ugly is envious of the beautiful, the poor is envious of the rich, the weak is envious of the poor, of the powerful, the ugly is envious of the beauty. So that we... In whatever situation we are in, we have to be careful to not being affected by the reaction of who we are, what we are, what we do, and accept everything as prasad. Everything that happened to us, I mean, I came in this country, I had nothing. I accept it. As long as I've got my service, but now I've got everything. I've got a family, I've got a house, I've got some money, I've got nice service, I've got good health. I'm grateful. I'm grateful to Krishna for giving me things that we should always think I don't deserve it. If you are in that mood, receiving mood, not taking mood. People, they go out, you know, they, I work because I'm expecting my wage. That's expecting mood, taking mood. But devotees, they become devotees, they work much more hard than many other people, conventional people. But they don't expect anything. And Krishna likes that. When we are not affected, akarmaka, what is I saw it here, very important word. Sakarma karmaka. Akarmaka, without being affected by the emotions. When we perform something, we shouldn't become proud of it. And we should not expect anything. Of course, if we work to maintain family, we have to bring in something to maintain our children. But we should always be in receiving mood and not taking mood. If it's something you expect, if you are in that mood, you'll see Krishna will give you so much that with his millions of hands, he starts to give you, and with two hands you can't hold everything he gives you. But when we are proud, then he takes away with his millions of hands everything, and how much we can hold on with our two hands. So it's very important to understand this akarma, you know, perform action. Of course, we do bhakti yoga or karma yoga. You know, we perform our activities to fulfill the desires of Krishna and nothing else. Whether it's maintaining the family, whether it's maintaining the temple, we do some preaching, you know, to help someone else. So all these activities, they generate no reaction, but they bring blessings. When we go out and chant Hare Krishna, we go out and distribute books, we are the good fortune for many, many other people. And Krishna becomes Bhaktivatsala. He becomes, then he rolls up his sleeves to become your servant. That's what it means, Bhaktivatsala. When you do something for humanity, for God, then he becomes your servant. There is no pleasure in the heart of God more higher than service. When he, you know, in all the incarnation, he's always like a tortoise, kurma. He came to serve, you know, the demigods and the demons by taking the lowest position. They were all churning, you know, the ocean to get things. But the Lord was the only one with the mood of service, giving. He came as a Krishna himself. He washed the feet of Brahmana Sudama as a servant. He came as a Vamana Dev, you know, to serve. He's a pure devotee. Indra and Bali Maharaj. He came as a Lord Chaitanya to serve humanity by delivering them from the clutches of birth and death. The Lord, he likes to serve more than anyone else. That's why he's God, because he's the best servant. People here, they see service or servant as the lowest rank, isn't it? In this world, the boss or the owner is high there, up there, awe and reverence, and the servant is not recognized at all. But in the spiritual world, everything is different, the other way around. The greatest servant is the greatest one. And who could be more greater servant than Krishna? And even a greater than him is his own happiness, which is Srimati Radharani. She serves him just like our happiness inside our heart is serving us to make you feeling good. So happiness is always at the service of the heart of the person. And only there it comes out of the heart to serve other people. That happiness is love. Krishna. Krishna, Radharani is in the heart of Krishna. And he's always serving Krishna to make him feel good. That's the concept of the internal pleasure potency. It's a personality, love. Radharani, she's the best servant, serves all of us. Every time you feel happy, you should always remember that's blessings of Radharani. She's making you feel good. Pure love. And love is selfless, you know, and comes in the form of service. Love and service is synonymous. If you love someone, then you serve that person. You would do anything for that person. It's not that husband comes home, the wife says, you know, I love you very much, and then you starve. No cooking for you. Or the other way around, the husband comes home and he gambles all his wage. I meet a lot of these people when I'm out on book distribution. And then they go home, I love you very much. The wife and the son, they start to cry. I love my family. And I tell them, why don't you stop gambling? I go in the service area in Toddington and I pull them out. You have a family. Look, you got a ring on your arm. They're addicted. People, they're addicted. I fish them out. Read this. Helps you to control your mind, your senses, and gives you some value in your heart to protect your family. How do you protect your family? By looking after them. By providing for them. You work for them, not for this gamble. And they feel miserable. They're lost. These are intelligent, sometimes people with a degree, but they have a habit, very low habit of gambling. That's why we don't gamble. Same thing with drugs, alcohol. Why we avoid the four sinful activities? Because they're damaging. That's not love. They try to love their body with these sinful activities by putting in intoxication, drinking, smoking, or gambling, or illicit sex, or eating all sorts of obnoxious things. They're eating burgers, people, and I put Bhagavad Gita on the table. Just go vegetarian. You're eating a person there. That cow had a sound vibration, was feeding her own calves. That cow has been slaughtered innocently, and you are eating it. Sometimes I tell them very straight, they look at me with open eyes. You're right. They've got nothing else to say. You're right. I met a guy, a very big guy, and he threw his burger in the bin. He gave me a hug. You know, you're right. And I've got it. There you are. It's here. I'll just show you a picture. Just the other day, you are right. Sometimes big people, but very little brain, you know? So, it's... there he is. Very big guy, and I'm very small. But he stood up and he gave me a hug. He said, you're right, I should go vegetarian. He said, most of my friends, they're vegan. So there's a lot of work to do outside there to bring people on the path of God realization. We have to, and that's what Krishna likes, when we spread concern, love. Don't remain be a monk devotee or a Sunday feast devotee. Evolve yourself. Many of us, we've been a monk, experienced devotee. But then, you know, some of them, they become great preachers. So do treat people the way you've been treated. You're coming to the temple to get this beautiful experience. You grow spiritually and then you give this experience to other people. And that's what God likes. You've been helped, so carry on helping. Help other people. This is the purpose of life. And then you will never be affected by what you do in this life. By the word karma kaha. You will never be affected. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any questions? Quick question? Sorry, we start class late because there was a long kirtan. But it's okay. But they told me I can go up to 8:45. There is a question over there.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class. I have a question about expectations and emotions when we perform our service. Speak for myself maybe. These expectations come. Is it natural for a soul to feel these emotions, or is it just because of conditioning?
It's a natural. It's a process. We never start a devotional service as a uttamadhikari or guru. when you join, you know, you are, we call it neophyte, is not a bad word, means a new devotee. Means an empty can, you know, we are trying to put something good in that can. So there are different stages. You start, you know, by karma mishra bhakti. Then we want some knowledge, jnana mishra bhakti. Karma mishra bhakti, that it means, you know, you put in your bhakti the desire for getting something in return. That's fine. That's good. Krishna likes it. It's a good thing. When you're trading, you're a businessman. In that mood, you are a businessman. There's nothing wrong with it. As long as you don't leave, because you do something to get something in return, you're negotiating with God. It's better than karma. Karma means you are a businessman with karmi, or people who are not devoted. I give you something, you give me something in return. But then that will entangle you more and more. But in devotional service, you carry on like that, with that mood. You know, whether you want some purification, whether you want some recognition, whether you want some intelligence from the Lord, this is all encouraged. I encourage you to carry on like that. As long as you do bhakti, you do your service, then Krishna slowly, slowly, he will purify that desire of expectations. Like, you know, in the beginning when I used to give a class, oh my God, what a nice class I gave, you know, 40 years ago. And I was speaking all sorts of nonsense. You know, sometimes we are very proud of our few pennies. But now, one of my greatest realizations that I had one morning, I remember, and I told all the devotees in the class, you know, do you want to know what it was? Yes or no? Are you interested? Very big realization. So I woke up one morning, I was supposed to, this was about 25 years ago. And I woke up and I realized how fallen I am. How stupid. How, you know, I was trying to prepare myself. I'm going to give a good class. I'm going to impress. But then that morning, Krishna gave me such a beautiful realization. When you, one day in the future, when you have that kind of realization, it's a good sign. You know, how fallen. Sometimes we look in the mirror and we think, oh, I'm all right. I'm good looking. I'm this, I'm that. You know, I'm, you know, intelligent. But actually, we're not seeing, you know, the reality. So it's good. You've been honest today, and I appreciate, you know, your question, because it's normal. Don't be embarrassed. You can carry on even up to now, you know, I pray to Krishna for, you know, I pray to Krishna that my son gets good health or gets good job. You know, there is desires in the heart for the welfare of people that we love. There is no embarrassment. Ask Krishna anything you want. Ask the Lord. Ask and you shall receive. Not that, oh, he knows my heart and there is no need for me to pray and he should look. No, you're treating God as your servant. No good. My dear Lord, this is the pray. You know, I'm full of material desires. I know I need to put some food on the table. I'm depending on your mercy. I need to put some air in my lungs to carry on living. I remember I prayed like this when I was almost dying from the COVID. You know, I'm at your mercy. If you want me to live, I live on. If you want me to see another day, that's you. Nothing is in my control. I'm doing my best. Everything is up to you. But I'll carry on being your servant. And that's it. And the Lord, he will carry preserve what you have and carry what you like. Nothing, you won't lose anything. You'll every day you will get more than what you had the day before. Is that okay? Yes, there was one there.
You mentioned that Lord is not affected by any activities. Is he affected by love and devotion?
Is he affected by love? Yes, of course.
But also not affected by
love. Of course, that's good affection. A good effect. Good question, by the way. Yes, he's affected. He's affected very much that he becomes, as I said during the class, that he becomes your servant. That's what touches the heart of Krishna, love. Then he pays attention. Then he's so much affected, you know, that he cannot stay still. He cannot be impassive. And that's why, so much so that he came to rescue Prahlad Maharaj. He took birth from the pillar. His pillar was his mom and daddy. And to rescue Prahlad Maharaj. Why? Because he was very a lover of Lord Nrisimhadev, lover of God. So when you love Krishna, he reciprocates. That's he becomes affected, but that affection is very rare. Very, you have to really to catch the attention of the Lord. You have to be on a very high stage. That's the only thing that creates a reaction in the heart of God. Our service. Is that okay? So it's 9:15, and I think maybe we should adjourn the class. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you for the kirtan. Thank you for all the Be a Monk people. I hope, you know, you will sit here one day and carry on this message to other Be a Monk devotees in 30 years, 40 years. Thank you to all those who participate in the marathon, summer marathon. And thank you for having me here. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya.